Thank you, Mrs. Hogue. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mrs. Hogue.
It's really good to see you. I know some of you a little bit, and I've spent some time with your classes earlier this year, the third grade classes. Back in December, we spoke about the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah. And then just a few weeks ago, I was with Ms. Dawson's first grade class talking about Passover. And as Mrs. Hope mentioned, that we have two children and they are at the other location. They're a little bit older, so they're at the Mill Street campus. I wanted to start out with you using your imaginations today. So imagine that you are a doctor, right? Imagine you're a doctor and one of your patients was feeling a little bit sick, and so you got them tested for various sicknesses. And one of the tests showed that your patient had a very serious sickness that there is a cure for, but if they leave it untreated, if they don't get medicine, then they will eventually die. It might be, if you put yourself in the shoes of a doctor, it might be very difficult to go into the room with that patient and her family and tell her this very serious news that she's sick. But what if you said, well, I don't want my patient to feel bad or feel afraid. And if I tell her she's got a serious sickness, then she's going to feel afraid. And so I just won't tell her that she's sick. Would that be a wise and responsible thing to do? No, right? Would that be a courageous thing to do? No. Would that be the loving thing to do for your patient? No. So we can see from this example that it's really important in some situations to tell someone a difficult truth that they might not want to hear if it helps them to avoid the danger and helps them to choose a good path. Well, today we're going to talk about the catechism questions that you've been working on this week, and I'll just read them for you again so that they're more fresh in our minds, even though we heard them earlier, you recited them earlier. What happens to believers when they die? Our bodies will return to the dust, and our souls will go to be with the Lord forever. What happens to unbelievers when they die? Their bodies will return to dust also, but their souls will go to hell. What is hell? Hell is an awful place where unbelievers are separated from God to suffer for their sins. Now, I have to be honest and to say that this is not something that I like to talk about or think about. I have friends and family members, people that I love, who don't yet believe in Jesus, and I don't like to think about them going to hell. We don't like to think about people, especially people that we love, suffering forever. We also don't like to bring it up to people because we think they might be offended or they might make them feel bad, right? And here's another reason why it feels unpleasant to talk about hell. Well, why does anyone go to hell? It's because of our sins. Now, we all have sinned. And if we trust in Jesus and ask him to forgive us and repent, then our sins will be forgiven. But we still don't like to feel reminded that we are sinners. And the thought that other people might go to hell because of their own sins is always for us a reminder that we are also sinners and deserve to go to hell. But it's important for us to talk about it and to think about it. Why? Why is it so important? It's important because it requires us to think about how holy God is and how distant we are from him because of our sins and our rebellion. If God weren't holy, then our sins wouldn't have created a separation from him. Second, thinking about hell and eternal separation from God reminds us about how bad our sins really are. Our sins harm us. They're bad for us. They harm others around us when we commit sins. And they offend God and they separate us from him. And so only when we learn to hate our sins can we begin to be changed and turn from our sins. And that is what we call repentance. And The third reason why it's important is that considering hell and separation from God helps us to appreciate what Jesus went through on the cross for us when he was separated from his Father. And so Jesus endured in our place the suffering and hell that we deserved. And that's really good news for us and for anyone who wishes to be forgiven and live life in fellowship with God and with others. Well, the saddest thing about separation, about hell, is that we are separated from God forever. And because when we look at the Bible, the story of the Bible, we learn that fellowship with God is what we were created for. In the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, God made human beings, male and female, in his own image, to rule and care for his world, to represent him in the world, and to have fellowship with him. Genesis 2 and 3 talks about how God was with Adam and Eve in this special garden and how he used to walk with them and enjoy fellowship with them. You know, I enjoy spending time with my pets. I have had hamsters and guinea pigs. Never had dogs or cats in my house, but hamsters and guinea pigs. But I like more spending time with other human beings. And I especially like spending time with my own kids because they are made in my image, my and Mrs. Jaffone's image as their parents. And so they're not the same as me, but we have a lot in common, myself and my kids. But if my children ever ran away from me and said that they didn't want to spend any time with me anymore, that would be one of the most hurtful things that they could do to me. And it wouldn't be good for them either. But that's what Adam and Eve did when they followed the words of the serpent and disobeyed God. The talking snake had convinced them that God was holding something back from them that they did not have. He said that if they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and bad, that they would be like God, knowing good and bad. And when the humans listened to the snake, they were thinking that they knew better than God. God has created us to reflect his glory and his presence into the world and to have fellowship with him and have fellowship with one another. But when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the glory of God that clothed them. And the result was alienation, separation from God. The God who used to walk with them and spend time with them and enjoy them. And then they also end up blaming each other. The humans end up blaming each other for what happened. Now, there's a famous writer you may have heard of named C.S. Lewis, who wrote what famous books? Yes? The Narnia books, that's right. Well, in one of his other writings, not the Chronicles of Narnia, he says, "There are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, 'Your will be done,' and those to whom God says, 'Okay, your will be done.'" And what this means is that if we don't repent and turn to God, then hell and separation from God in eternity is God letting us have the consequences of our own choice of separation from him. But thankfully, there is good news. So in the Bible, we also read about God's plan to heal and repair the broken image of himself that's in each person. And that plan reaches its fulfillment with God himself taking on human flesh in the person of Jesus. So God wanted to restore that fellowship with us so much, and he did not want us to live separated from him forever, so much so that he came to earth and he took on human flesh and humbled himself to the point of death. And it was a shameful and painful death on behalf of us. And this is another reason why we need to think about hell and separation from God, because we need to appreciate what Jesus went through for us in his death to bring us to God, as the Apostle Peter says. Here's how one pastor that I read explains it. He says, "Without a real hell, we can't understand the real price that Jesus paid for our sin. And without a real price that was paid, there's no real love, there's no grace, there's no real praise for what Jesus has done. Unless you believe in hell, you'll never know how much God loves you and how much he values you. Jesus himself experienced hell on the cross. Jesus was separated from the Father. On the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When Jesus lost the eternal love of the Father, he experienced an agony, a disintegration, an isolation greater than anything any one of us would have experienced in eternity in hell. And so he took that isolation that we deserve upon himself. And so unless you believe in hell and see what Jesus took for you, you will never know how much he loves you. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it says that Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living. It says that it was the Father's will to crush him and put him to grief so that Jesus' soul could become an offering for our guilt. That's what he endured for our sake. And so unless we think about hell, about how bad was the suffering that Jesus went through, then we won't appreciate what he did for us. So if we come back to when we used our imaginations at the beginning and imagined that we were a doctor and we were too scared to tell a patient how sick she is, if the doctor is too afraid to talk about a serious illness, that's really bad for the person who's sick, right? It also means that the sick person never gets to hear the good news about the cure for the sickness. If she doesn't think that she's sick at all, then why would she care about taking this cure or undergoing this treatment? And similarly, we have to think about hell and separation from God, as it says in God's word, so that we can understand why we need forgiveness and why the people that we love can believe in Jesus and receive forgiveness as well. If we stay as we are without repenting and turning to God, then we'll remain separated from him in this life and then in eternity afterward. But if we confess our sins and turn to God in repentance and trust in Jesus, then we will spend eternity with God and not separated from God. And so this truth also gives our lives purpose and meaning and motivation. And not only can we be thankful to God for salvation and fellowship that we have with him, it means that everything we do in our lives can be connected to his holiness and his glory. And fellowship with him means that we have joy, even if we might suffer in this life, and there is suffering. We can enjoy fellowship with him and have joy because he is with us and we're confident that he will deliver us into eternal life where there is no pain and no suffering. And finally, this means that we need to tell everyone about Jesus. We need to tell everyone, people that we love and people that we care about, our friends, our family members, we need to say to them, "I don't want you to live apart from God. I love you, but God loves you even more. And he's holy and righteous, and we are not. But we can admit our sins and call upon him, and he will save us." That is the message, and we need to never stop believing in it and constantly, consistently be telling it to others around us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for enduring the separation from God the Father on the cross, the punishment that we deserve, so that we don't have to be separated from you for eternity. Help us to live lives that give you glory by the power of the Holy Spirit, and give us courage and passion to tell others about hell, about your judgment, and even more importantly, about your love and your mercy. Amen.